Good morning, everybody. I want to start off talking about Moira. Moira was an older lady. She didn't move about so well. But every day she used to go up into town, and most days she'd go to the post office, and she'd go to the post office to get a stamp. And as she was waiting in this line this day, it was a longer than usual line. There were people everywhere. And as she's waiting in line, the person behind her had all these boxes and said, "Oh, what are you getting?" And she said, "Oh, I'm just getting a stamp." So there's a stamp machine over there. You just put money in and the stamp comes out. You don't have to wait in line. She said, "Yeah, but the stamp machine doesn't ask me how my arthritis is." Moira didn't go to this post office to get a stamp. She came to get connection, to get connected with people. And I believe that God's created us, and a part of us is to connect with people. And a part of that is to be one of many, one of a whole, to belong to a group of people. And I think this started in Genesis. If we look at Genesis 1, what happened? Does anyone remember? Has anyone read that bit? It started at the start. Genesis 1, God created. And at the end of each day, he said, "It is good." And when he created Adam, what did he say? He said, "It is not good for him to be alone." Remember that bit too. Now, does this mean that we're meant to be married? I don't think so. I think this is about a connection point. That Adam being the one was meant to be many. And when God created Adam, he realized or designed that we needed to be part of a community. And as people, there is a part of us that needs others. Now, for all the extroverts out there, I hear a amen. For all the introverts out there, I hear a nothing, because you're not going to say anything because you're introvert. For some of us, being around people is easy and good and builds us up naturally. For others of us, building around other people is something we need to work on, strive for. In our world, I think we are becoming more and more individual. We're becoming less and less connected to others, less and less social. When we talk to the young people, a lot of their social world is online. We have social networks, we have social media, we have social forums. We get our input and our connection with people through online or disconnectedness. We find that the importance of being with each other is becoming less and less. And that goes through church as well. There's so many people that say, "I do church online. I listen to this podcast. I listen to this podcast. I do this. I do this." And that's all okay. But if it's robbing us from connecting with people, then maybe it's less okay. We live in a world that chases after individualism, chases after me, and I get what I want, and we're becoming less and less connected to others. I believe that we're designed and created as social beings, as a part of a whole. I believe that's how God created us to be. I hear churches saying that we are a church and we are connected because we have a common theology. We believe the same thing. We chase after God in the same way. I don't necessarily believe that's what a church is. I believe a church is a group of people who are empowering and encouraging each other to go about chasing God and doing it in the community. I don't believe that we need to narrow down what we believe, but I believe that we need to connect with others who believe differently to us. As we connect with people who believe differently to us, that builds us up. As we define it and define it so that we all think the same way, we're actually narrowing our understanding and narrowing the challenge in our life. I hear people constantly saying, "Oh, I'm a Christian, I do church on my own." But is that really what church is about? Is that really what a Christian is about? Is that how we get to know God? Is that how we grow in Him? We're talking about spiritual disciplines. And so often we're talking about spiritual disciplines, rightly so. It's about personal growth. It's about Bible study and about prayer and about the things that I need to do to build me. And some would say that spiritual disciplines are about community, and some might say they're not. I think when we look at the Bible, it doesn't talk about spiritual disciplines conceptually in a fellowship community aspect, because it wasn't needed to. Because the early church was a community. The early church understood that they were now the body of Christ. They were now one. And we as the church have moved away from that. We are one, we are community, into a group of individuals. So I think that as spiritual disciplines, we need to actually say that being a spiritual discipline is to be in community, is to be in fellowship. Because I think that's taking us back to where we came from and what the intention of being the body of Christ was. I think there's a difference between academic and application. And as we look at the academic understanding of spiritual disciplines and we go through all of these things, which are all good, we need to have the element of spiritual disciplines being the application of it. As I read the Bible, we can turn it into an academic book. But the point of the Bible is to live our lives and to become more like Jesus. If we're not applying what the Bible is saying, then I'm going to say it's almost worthless. I don't think God wants us to be academics. And if you're an academic, that's okay. But not to be solely academic only. We're to become more like Jesus. We're to be able to say, yes, I understand the academic, but how does that change me? How does that change us? Who are we, the people, becoming more like Jesus? Please don't hear that I'm devaluing academics. I'm not. But I'm saying academia is a step to who we are as a people. Understanding God means significantly more if we're applying it to who we are, and that's changing us and transforming us. So who are we? Let's look at 2 Peter 2. You are a chosen people. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What Peter's saying is that when we became Christians, we became a part of God's family. We stepped into something. And as that changes who we are. It changes who we relate to, how we connect to. It changes us as a people. And we need to have primarily a part of who we are in this context of fellowship, of community. Do I work with others to achieve goals, or do I use others to achieve my goals? So often we go into community with our own agenda and our own goals, and we sit there and go, who can serve my goals? I would hope that here we don't do that. I try not to do that. I sit down and how do we achieve what God's calling us to do together? How do we fulfill God's call on us, the vision that God's given, as we move into what God has for us, because we all have a part to play? I don't believe that my goal is my goal and you're my tools. We are servants of God, with each with different skills, giftings, strengths. And as we come together, we see God's kingdom amongst us. There's an old cliche, it takes a village to raise a child. It's true for Christianity now. As someone has said, Christian life is a community project. We need a village to grow me. We need a village to grow us. We need a village to become the people that God wants us to become. If we look at the word church, we're learners and followers of Jesus Christ. We are people that are working together, that are gathered together. If we look at the word church, the church is a group who are called out, the called out ones. It's a community of God. It's the group of people who worship God together. We can't be a church on our own. We can't be a church of one. If we look at Matthew 18:20, it talks when two of you are gathered, the Spirit of God is with us. When we are gathered together, when we're journeying together, God is there. Jesus is amongst us. Fellowship encourages our connection. It encourages us as a people, but encourages me to grow as well. Hebrews encourages not to stop meeting together. It talks about how we may have conflict, but we're going to meet together and to work through it. So in all of this, does that mean that God is not enough? That God isn't enough for us? God is enough. But he's put into place the community around us to be Jesus in us and through us and with us. The village that we're a part of is who we are. And Jesus works amongst us to be Jesus to us and with us. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body. It talks that each of us is a different part of the body. Some are eyes, some are noses, some are toes, some are feet. We're all a different part of the body with different giftings and different strengths. We are not perfect like me. Some of you are not as perfect. You're more like Rob. Is that why you put your hand up? We're not perfect. We don't have all the answers. Our church is not perfect and our church does not have all the answers. We as a church, we as the church, we as the community of God, as the body of Christ, together we are the body of Christ. And when we think that we have it all together and we're the one and we can do it on our own, we exclude Jesus from being a part of that process. God is calling us to be one together, to be a community. In Matthew, Jesus says to love your neighbour as yourself. If we're not to be a part of a community, then how can we love others as ourselves? We're known to be Christians because of our love, because of how we connect, how we relate. And if we're happy to be on our own, then we can't reflect Jesus. God has a set purpose for us in community. And he talks over and over and over again how we walk with others, how we journey together. And so often we need to be deliberate and make choices to be one in Christ together. So is God enough? Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, family, nakedness, peril, the sword, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God." So true. When everything else fails, God is good and God is with us. But in the process, we have everything else. Our day-to-day doesn't rely on the desperation of "is God all that's left?" Our day-to-day means we walk with people and journey with people. We support each other. We know God together. Christianity is not a solo sport, it's a team sport. God's created us to play our game, our life together. We're called into ministry together. God's calling us to participate, to be one. You know, there's people that I've talked to who say that, but I go to church and I don't have some friends. People don't connect with me. Do you want to know the secret to having friends? The big secret to having friends? Be a friend. If we're sitting back waiting for everyone to come to us, there's times where it could be waiting for a long, long time. We need to take a step forward and say, "I'm going to be a friend." There's a person that's connected to our church more recently who says, "I love this town. Everybody's so friendly. I went here, people were friendly. I went here, people were friendly. I went here, I went people were friendly. I went here, people were friendly. I went here, people were friendly. What's the key part of that? I went. Yeah? I was a friend and became friends. So often, we sit back and wait for people to come to us. Janelle and I went to a church probably about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. We went to a church, we walked in, we were there about 10, 15 minutes before the service started. I look like a good Christian. And I was dressed as well as this, maybe not. We went in, we looked around, we walked around amongst people, we went and we sat down. Do you know who talked to us? After the service, we were there for probably 15 minutes. The only person that talked to me was a lady who, when I said, "Can you tell me where the toilet is?" she went up that way. That was it. That was the only people that talked to us. We went to that church once. Is that how we're meant to be? Is that what church is? Is that who we are? Are we so disconnected from who Jesus is that we don't talk to others, we don't connect with others? Are we so disconnected from each other that we don't build relationships with each other? Are we so happy to be an island that we're willing to invest in sharks around our island to keep people away? We're called to be a part of a community, to be part of who we are and what Jesus is doing in this fellowship. I'm always challenged by Acts, and what Acts is and how it talks about the early church. Acts 2:42 said that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And sometimes we want to put a full stop there, that'd be good. And to fellowship, for the breaking of bread and to prayer. The early community were committed to living life together. They gave up everything to live life in community with each other. Is that easy? I didn't say it was. I'm not promising it will be. But the challenge is that the early church, the ones who were closest to the time of Jesus, saw that living together in community was the best way of extending who they are. But to be able to narrow it down to that is unfair as well. Because we as the body of Christ are a part of the body of Christ. People meeting all the way around the world today or yesterday or tomorrow. People meeting around the world to celebrate Jesus, to have communion, to pray, worship and to pray with each other, to connect with each other, to sit down and hear celebration, to hear pain with each other. We have missionaries we support that are overseas doing what believes God's called them to do. They are a part of our community. We are a part of Jesus. We need to express that and understand that. A part of being a Christian is participating in what God wants us to do and in His family. I don't know if God has room for people just, I'm going to call people pew warmers, and I don't mean that, well, take it any way you want, I guess. People who come and sit and hear and leave, whose whole Christian life is visiting a church once a week, or once a month, or once every 3 months, or whatever. But they understand that their Christian life is about ticking the box. It's not about that. The life with Jesus is about living every day for Him and with Him, to learn who He is, to be a part of what He is doing. We're called to more. We're called to fellowship with each other as we understand who God is and we journey to God together. Fellowship is something that's important, and it's something we need to be disciplined about, to make choices about, to participate in. There's a story about a pastor traveling through Brazil, and he was traveling with a Brazilian Bible college student. And as they're traveling, he says, "Oh, do you mind if we grab a coffee?" And the student said, "Oh, I would be honored." and they went through drive-thru. And as they picked up their coffee and left, the student was quiet. And the pastor said, "Oh, is everything okay?" And the Bible student said, "I thought that when we stopped for coffee, we were going to become friends, that we would talk, we would understand each other." His understanding of getting coffee was, "Enter into my life." The pastor's understanding of getting coffee was, "I need caffeine to deal with you." That's harsh. His idea with coffee was, "I need a coffee to get through the day." How do we treat others? And how do we understand what relationship is for others and for what we need? Being in community means to stir one another up to love and good works. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." As Christians, we're to stir each other up. Stir each other up to good works and deeds. I'm really good at stirring people up, but not in that way often. But stirring people up to good deeds. How can we encourage and empower each other? As we are together, how do we bring about the best in each other? How do we encourage each other to take a step of faith, to take a risk, to be able to connect with those around them? How do we encourage each other to step out? And then Hebrews 3 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." As we encourage each other to step out, we're also helping each other to not walk into sin, to stand with each other in our pain and our grief and our struggles, to accept each other and to be able to say, "You can do better. We can do better together." Our part of a community is to do the best that we can for each other. There's a story about a baseball player named Jackie Robinson. And Jackie Robinson was the first African-American to ever play baseball. And as you can imagine, that was a risky and dangerous position and part to play in America many years ago. He used to get booed, he used to get spat on, all sorts of things. And he was playing on second base one day, and as he was playing, he made a mistake. And the entire stadium were booing and harassing him. And the catcher, whose name was Pee-wee Reese, walked from the catching over to second base, stood with his arm around him, and looked at the crowd. And the crowd went quiet. He stood with him. As Christians, as a part of a community, we stand with each other. We empower and strengthen and encourage each other as we go through our journey with God. The Bible is filled with verses about how we treat each other. I'm going to read out maybe 20. I want you to ask yourself, which one am I encouraged by and which one am I challenged by? And I'm only going to do it once, so you may not pick it up, but try and remember the vibe of what the scripture was. And if you want the text of it, I can get it for you later. Be at peace with one another. Love one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look to not your own interests, but also the interests of others. Bear with one another. Encourage one another. Let brotherly love continue. Do not speak evil against one another. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Which one of those was challenging? For some of us, all of those were challenging. To be Jesus is tough work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of mistakes. It takes a lot of forgiveness. It takes a lot of grace. But we're to become more like Jesus. So what does the church look like? Can I read again from Acts 2? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and all had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. During the week we're talking about what heaven might look like. Perhaps that's what heaven looks like. Being with each other. Being committed to each other. Breaking bread and praying together each day, living in community. Is that attainable here in our country? Possibly, maybe not. But there's elements that there are. How do we share our lives with each other and how do we grow and encourage each other? How do we spur each other on to greater good? How do we spur each other on to love each other more and to love our community more and more? Can you imagine if that's what our community looked like? Imagine how the community talked about the church as being those guys who loved each other and care for each other, that support each other. Wouldn't that be amazing? How would that change our community? Jesus is the center of all of who we are. He's the center of the spiritual disciplines. He's the spiritual of our fellowship. He's the spirit. He's the center of who we are as a people. We need to be intentional, to be intentional about relationships, intentional about fellowship. There's a little girl once cried out in the middle of the night to a mum. Mum woke up and she said, "Can I come into your bed?" And mum said, "Yes." "What's the matter?" She said, "It was dark over there." She says, "Yeah, but it's dark over here too." She says, "Yeah, but you're here." In our dark times, we have each other. We can journey with each other. I talk to people about different needs and they're saying, "Well, I need something in a time of panic and distress." But if we're not investing when we're in a good place, then where do we have that space? Jesus is with us. We are with us. The picture of the church, it's not a picture of a person, but it's a picture of the body of Christ, the fellowship of the believers. We need to be intentional to be the body of Christ. To close, there's a story of a pastor who one of his people in the fellowship was very keen, there all the time, then all of a sudden just started not coming. And after a little while, he went around and he sat and he visited this guy. And as he came in, the guy brought a chair and they sat in front of the fire. And the preacher reached in with tongs, grabbed one of the embers and just sat it outside the fire. And as they watched that ember, very quickly that ember just went out. And the guy said to the pastor, "No need to say anything, I'll be there next week." If we're not walking with each other, then our walk with Christ is 100 times more difficult. when we walk with each other, it doesn't mean everything is beautiful, but it means that we together grow in Christ. And I believe that's how we're designed. We're designed to walk with Christ, with each other, being Christ with each other. Let's pray. Father, you created us. When you created Adam, you said it is not good for him to be alone. Father, for some of us, being with others is easy. For some of us, we need it. But for others, it's tough. And we'd rather be on our own. But Father, you have created us as people to be social, to need each other. To grow in you is to grow with each other, to support each other in each other's pain, and to support each other in our joys. To be there in the good times, to be there in the tough times. Father, I ask that you help us to be committed to you and be committed to the fellowship of Jesus. Father, help us to be committed to other churches and to the ministries that we share. Help us to be committed to those that are around us in this room. Father, help us to be people who forgive and encourage, give grace and mercy. Help us to stand shoulder to shoulder to take on the world. And Father, never let us neglect the community you've called us to transform. In Jesus' name, amen.